की वैष्णवा बिंद की जाए, इसका अनुसार प्रभुपाद की जाए, नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जाए, ब्रह्म से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि श्री गौर भक्तवृंद की जाए, सामवेद भक्तवृंद की जाए, गौर प्रेमानंद glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sisi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, which is called the Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. These are being explained by no other than Lord Kapila Dev himself. So today's text 23 and 24 would share a common purport, so we have put text 23 on the board for chanting. Mahat Tatvat Vikurvana Bhagavat Virya Sambhava Priya Shaktir Ahankaras Trivida Sammapajyatta Mahatattva Vikurvana Bhagavad Virya Sambhava Priya Shaktir Ahankaras Vividha Sammapadyata Mahatattvadi Kurvana Bhagavadvirya Sambhava Priya Shaktirahankaras Vividha Sammapadyata Tattvadvikurvana Bhagavadvirya Sambhava Priya Shaktirahankaras Vividha Sammapajyata.
Mahatattva Vibhuvana
Mahatattva. From the Mahatattva. Ikurvana. Undergoing a change. Bhagavat Virya Sambhavat. Evolved from the Lord's own energy. Kriya Shaktihi. Endowed with active power. Ahankaraha. The material ego. Trividaha. Of three kinds. Sammapajjata.
Sprang up.
The next verse goes like this. Vaikarikas tajasascha tamasascha yatobhavan manasaschindriyanam cha bhutanam mahatamapi. Try to listen. We don't have the words, but I'll try to say it clearly. You say after me. So the next verse. Vaikarikaha. Material ego in transformed goodness. Tajasaha. Material ego in passion.
Cha.
And.
Tamasaha.
Material ego in ignorance.
Cha.
Also.
Yattaha.
From which?
Bhavaha.
The origin. Manasaha.
Of the mind.
Cha.
And.
Indriyanam. Of the senses for perception and action.
Cha.
And.
Bhutanam.
Mahatam. Of the five gross elements.
Api.
Also. Translation. The material ego springs up from the Mahatattva, which evolved from the Lord's own energy. Material ego is endowed predominantly with active power of three kinds: good, passionate, and ignorant. It is from these three types of material ego that the mind, the senses of perception, the organs of action, and the gross elements evolve. Srila Prabhupada's report. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. No. And he did, but this is a little more detailed explanation here. In the beginning, from clear consciousness or the pure state of Krishna consciousness, the first contamination sprang up. This is called false ego, or identification of the body as self. The living entity exists in the natural state of Krishna consciousness, but he has marginal independence, and this allows him to forget Krishna. Originally, pure Krishna consciousness exists, but because of the misuse of marginal independence, there is a chance of forgetting Krishna. This is exhibited in actual life. There are many instances in which someone acting in Krishna consciousness suddenly changes. In the Upanishads, it is stated, therefore, that the path of spiritual realization is just like the sharp edge of a razor. The example is very appropriate. One shaves his cheeks with a sharp razor very nicely, but as soon as his attention is diverted from the activity, he immediately cuts his cheek because he mishandles the razor. Not only must one come to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness, but one must also be very careful. Any inattentiveness or carelessness may cause fall down. This fall down is due to false ego. From the stage of pure consciousness, the false ego is born because of misuse of independence. We cannot argue about why false ego arises from pure consciousness. Factually, there is always the chance that this will happen, and therefore one has to be very careful. False ego is the basic principle for all material activities which are executed in the modes of material nature. As soon as one deviates from pure Krishna consciousness, he increases his entanglement in material reaction. The entanglement of materialism is the material mind, and from this material mind, the senses and material organs become manifest. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesa Sinyavari Pachacha Desa Charane Om Gyanam Timarandas Chaganandana Surakaya Chaksurin Viritam Jainam Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vedacha Patitanam Pavaneryo Vaishnavyo Namaha. So in this process of creation, there are two creations actually described in the Bhagavatam, Sarga and Visarga. Well, this is Sarga, the creation of the very basic building blocks of material nature, the 24, 25, 26, depending on how what you include, element, fundamental principles of existence. This is called Sarga. This is the work of Mahavishnu. And then there's Visarga, the assembly job of Lord Brahma, the subsequent creation. That's actually where the Bible begins, because you wonder already why things are there. The Bible doesn't say, so you can deduce that there must have been some previous creation, but then there is silence. Here we have very detailed and very interesting description of what happens. So first of all, there's this Mahatattva, or more precisely, Pradhana. Sometimes they're used interchangeably, but technically speaking, there is what we can call this primordial, undifferentiated material energy, this Urstoff. Which is very, very subtle, and which is eternal. It's the Lord's energy. Sometimes it comes out, sometimes it winds up. But the energy itself always remains. So at the time of creation, this energy, this pradhana, which is material energy, is impregnated or activated by the glance of the Lord, Bhagavat Virya. And when he glances at this material nature, two things happen. The jivas are impregnated into material nature. This is a sexual act described that way, although the Lord does it from a distance. He impregnates material nature with his glance, but also in that glance is what's called Kala Shakti, the time energy. And that zaps the pradhana, and when it becomes activated by the time energy, then technically it's mahatattva. Because it's slightly, now it's activated by this time energy. And so having been activated, then there precipitates out. Then first there's just pure consciousness is manifest. This is described in the previous verse, called Vasudeva state. And this is called Vasudeva because this is also presided over by Vasudeva. Each one of these features, one member of the Chaturvyuha controls them. Vasudeva, of this stage of pure consciousness. Then false ego is presided over by Shankarshan. And then the mind by Aniruddha, intelligence by Prajnana, the Chaturvyuha, these four. So it's Prabhupada says in the previous, Vasudeva is Krishna alone. That is to say, without his internal energy. This is the difference actually between Paramatma and Bhagavan. Paramatma is Krishna dealing with the material energy. So he's alone. You see, he does not consort intimately with his material energy. He consorts intimately with his interior energy, with Lakshmi Devi, with Radharani. But he never consorts closely with Durga. But when he does, he's Lord Shiva. That glance that he looks at distance, that then becomes manifest as the Shambhu, or Lord Shiva. So then when he's intimately associated with the material energy, then he takes on this aspect of Lord Shiva. So the Prabhupada said like as a wonderful sense, Krishna never consorts intimately with the material energy, but when he does, he's Lord Shiva. You can understand that. So that glance takes place, and then the first thing that appears in this Mahatattva is Ahankara. Now remember that the jivas are still kind of just sitting around waiting for their bodies to be formed, even for the ingredients of their bodies. So the first thing that happens is false ego. This is very interesting because you can see that this Ahankara, which Prabhupada here describes as identification of the body with the self. So that first thing, the jivas need to identify the body with themselves. So this Ahankara has to be there for them. This means, as you can see, that the whole creation is made for the sake of the jivas. And as we'll see, everything now comes from this Ahankara. This Ahankara is now in, then it says, it then it, is the, it appears in three divisions. There's false ego in goodness, false ego in passion, and false ego in ignorance. The three modes are now as three characteristics of false ego. And then it says, from these three types, the mind, the sense of perception, the organs of action, the gross elements evolve. See, because from false ego in goodness, the mind appears. From false ego in passion, it mentions here in this, and these will be described in more detail later on by Kapila Dev, but the mind appears out of false ego in goodness, one of the material elements. So there's subtle elements, one of them is manas. So manas shows up. And then when there's false ego in passion, it mentions here in this verse the two sets of senses. The word, the Sanskrit word is indriya. So indriya means instrument. And there's the jnana indriya, the instruments of perception. Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. These are powers, kriya shakti. These are powers of the jiva. Is given these endowed, blessed with these instruments by which can perceive the world, or hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, and smelling. That's one set. It's called the Gyanindriya. And then the Karmindriya, the instruments of action. These two things, the karo, the two hands, pickers and stealers, so you can do so much mischief with your hands, you can manipulate things. So the instruments of manipulation. Then we have two legs for walking. Some have four, some have six, but anyway, there's some way to get around, some locomotion. So the instruments are of agents. Then sound production. See, we could hear that. Because of our instrument. Then sound production. The tongue does a double function. It's an instrument for tasting, one of the Gyan Indriyas, and it's also part of the Karmindriya system for making sound. So the sound, the throat, the palate, you know, these together, we can make noise or speech. And then there are the instruments we have for passing waste and for reproduction. So those five constitute the Karmindriya. And that basically, that's our body. What our body is simply an organized arrangement of these instruments. And plus some inside support system, of course, but that's what the body is. So all these instruments, both sets of these instruments, a mode of passion. They are false ego and passion. We can do something. But also, along with these, in the false ego and passion, is also buddhi, intelligence. Because buddhi is the kind of, how do we say, the subtle agent which allows these senses to work. The Gyanindriya, not all of them, the Gyanindriya. As will be explained, one function of buddhi is recognizing things, correct apprehension, misapprehension, and so on. So buddhi is the kind of support system for the Gyanindriya. For the Karmindriya is prana. Prana serves the parallel function. The life force, the airs in the body that make these senses, the arms and legs and the eyes blink and everything is all passing stool, apana, different, one of the different airs do these different things according. So the intelligence buddhi comes out of false ego in passion. Then false ego in ignorance. If the senses are produced out of false ego in passion, then the sense objects come from false ego in ignorance. The sense objects are called tanmatra, which means literally merely that. For example, we are gifted with the sense of hearing. So then that's out of false ego and passion, false ego and ignorance. Notice it's still false ego, right? It's all for us to have the wrong idea about ourselves. There's sound. This is the tanmatra. And also the gross element, space or ether. That's mentioned here, the buhatamma, the Bhutanam Mahatam, the gross elements. Then we have the sense of sight, and then there's there's form and color, and also the gross element fire. So that's what with the five knowledge acquiring senses, there are five sense objects and also five gross elements, like that. This is how it all evolves out, all for the purpose of us are being able to goof off in the material world. Basically for forgetting Krishna, the facility to forget Krishna, which Prabhupada describes here as inattentiveness. It is inattentiveness. This is, he says, the misuse of marginal independence. The living entities come in the material world, and they can somehow or other forget. Spiritual life also, Prabhupada uses the example here. We can see in spiritual life, people are going along, they look perfectly Krishna conscious, but then they can forget. So sometimes it can be a fairly subtle thing. That's why this example of a razor, I assume an old-fashioned straight razor, which I don't know if anybody ever uses anymore. But when you shave with a straight razor, it's true, just a little bit of move a slight way, and there's a nick. And so you had to be pretty expert, and you had to pay attention. Or you cut yourself just a slight wrong angle, and there's a problem. So this is how it happens. Somehow or other, the living entity wants to divert his attention from Krishna. This is described in a couple of places. There's the Jagarananda Panit in Prema Vivarta. Krishna Bahirmukha Hana Bhoga Vanshakare Nikatasta Mayatare Chaktiya Dhare. As soon as one becomes inimical to Krishna, Krishna Bahirmukha really means turning your face away. Or we could say turning your attention away from Krishna. Prabhupada uses the idea of inattentiveness. So turning wanting something other than Krishna. Okay? Wanting something that is not Krishna. Is there any not Krishna, by the way? No. There's no such thing. Therefore, when you want not Krishna, what do you get? You get something that doesn't exist, which we call an illusion. You get the appearance of not Krishna. This also we can forget. So he says here, as one as becomes Krishna Bahiramukha, turns his face away from Krishna, and bhoga vanchakari, and desires bhoga, sense gratification, and desires sense gratification, he is immediately struck down by the illusory energy of Krishna, which is described here as nikatastha, which is standing close by. He becomes grass like this. And then there's another text along the same lines. This is from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhayam dutiya vinideshitat shat ishadafektat shri paryayam asmitihi. Fear arises. Because this is the other thing that happens. Fear. Arises. We'll talk about that fear a little bit. Fear arises. Dvitiya abhiniveshita shat. When one thinks that there is something, because of being absorbed in something that seems to be different from Krishna, something dvitiya, some second thing other than Krishna. Or thinking I am separate from Krishna, therefore from identifying oneself with the material body. Then payam dhiya abhinivesita shat. This happens Ishad Apetasha, for one who has turned away from Isha, was turned away from the Lord, and Viparyaya Asmitihi, and then he forgets his constitutional position, becomes forgetful Asmitihi, and misidentifies himself. You know, this is the condition. So fear comes from this. I was just reading something very interesting by Prabhupada in a couple of places. We have that the living entity has eternal existence as is nature. When we come to the material world, we undergo a trauma. The trauma is the loss of sat. Not really, we don't lose it, but we think we've lost it. There's the loss of eternity. There's the loss of chit, of knowledge. And there's the loss of ananda. And our whole existence in the material world is trying to compensate for these losses and to make up for them in the material world. That's basically the material product. Where's sat, where's chit, and where's ananda? How can I stay alive? So, every living entity wants to stay alive. We have this instinct for self-preservation, right? Well, Prabhupada tells us, see, this is, and this instinct of self-preservation is manifest when pure consciousness becomes covered. And Prabhupada, in a couple of places, he's talking about this instinct of self-preservation. When he talks about this instruction of Prahlad to his demonic classmate, Yaisha Sarva Bhutanam Priya Atmeshwara Surit. And Prabhupada translates that, the human form of life, this is the whole verse, this is 7.6.2. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living entities. The Prabhupada talks about these three features and the fact that devotional service is natural. And we should understand what this natural means. And here Krishna is described as our dearmost friend, Yusurit. So Prabhupada is explaining that by nature he is dear. By nature. Sometimes one goes to a demigod, he gives me some favors, and the demigod becomes near to me, dear to me, but that's not natural in the sense that it's only conditional. He's done me some favor. But the love for Krishna is just innate. It's not dependent on his having done anything. It's there. It's natural. So that Prabhupada proves this. Now, what do you consider, by nature he's dear, he says, then what do you consider the dearmost thing? Have you analyzed? He says, you yourself are the dearmost thing. I am sitting here, but there's a fire alarm. I shall at once take care of myself. How can I save myself? We forget our friends and even our relatives. Let me first of all save myself. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. For every living entity at least wants to stay alive. He loves himself most of all. There's a word for this in psychology when they're talking about human beings. You know this word? It's called narcissism. From the Greek word narcissism, fell in love with his own image. So this narcissism, I am somehow special. And therefore the idea that I could die, how is that possible? I'm so special. How can it happen? I'm important. People love me. Or if they don't, they should. As much as I love myself. Right? This is the, everyone has this, in this world, has this narcissism. So self-preservation, he says, is the first law of nature. In another lecture, he quotes, he says, now when there is danger, now we take care of our protection immediately. Atmanam sarvato raksha. One, first of all, protects himself first. Everyone is busy to protect himself. And then he mentions also the same example of a fire. I think this seemed to be something Prabhupada saw. A man runs out of fire in the house. After he gets outside, he says, oh, my son's inside. Why do you leave your son? You know, he ran out. Then suddenly he realized, I left my son inside. He said, why you left your son? Because you think, everyone thinks that my Atma is very dear to me. And why the Atma is dear to him? Because the Atma is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Well, Prabhupada explains like this. In the grossest sense of the word, Atma, self, refers to the body. That's our false ego, right? And the body is the self. In the subtlest sphere, the mind or intelligence is the Atma. And in the real sense, Atma means the soul. In the growth stage, we are very fond of protecting and satisfying the body. Our self-love, huh? We protect it and satisfy it. And in the subtler stage, we are very fond of satisfying the mind and intelligence. But above the mental and intellectual planes, where the atmosphere is spiritualized, we can understand, I am not this mind, intellect or body, aham brahmasmi, I am spirit, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. That is the platform of real understanding. So again, Prabhupada explains, by nature, we are trying to protect the body. This is self-preservation. Why do I protect the body? Because within the body is the soul. What is the soul? The soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. As we want to protect the hand or finger, because it is part of the whole body. Similarly, we try to save ourselves because this is the defending process of the Supreme. The Supreme does not need defense, but this is a manifestation of our love toward Him, which is now perverted. In other words, we cannot, with self-realization, we understand I'm not the body, I am the spirit soul. But when there is real, full realization of the spirit soul, I realize there's another Atma, the Paramatma, who is the self of all selves. And I'm related to that Paramatma. So this is actually self-love, should be with a capital S, and actually refer to that super soul. In another place, when Prabhupada is discussing this, just like you love your Atma very dearly, your life, similarly, Krishna being the Atmeshwara, the sum total of all Atma, therefore ultimately Krishna or Vishnu is very dear. So that's when we are in relationship with Krishna, we have eternal life. We have full being and without any, just natural. We love Krishna, we're in relationship with Krishna. As Krishna truly exists, so we also exist, no problem. When you forget Krishna, that's why immediately buy it. Fear. because now we are in the atmosphere of non-existence. We've identified with the body, and what happens to the body? We'll figure that out fairly soon. Just a little child, sometimes you see something happen. You see your cat grab a mouse, and you watch what happens. Or you see the cat get hit by a car, and then you notice that when you cut your finger, the same red stuff comes out. And then you can figure it out. So you think we projected our eternal nature onto the temporary body by the false ego, and then immediately there's fear. So, but just think. Well, first of all, we should understand that with this instinct of self-preservation, if every living entity wants that, we ask ourselves, who's really succeeded? We can see there's 100% failure rate. So it should be obvious to everybody that the prospect of becoming happy in this material world is just not there. It's absolutely not there at all. How can we be so stupid as to keep trying over and over again? This stupidity is also a feature of Maya. Actually, we make ourselves stupid in a way just in order to be happy. Because otherwise it's such a disaster we couldn't face up to it. Pascal had one saying, you know, human beings are so necessarily mad, insane. Human beings are so necessarily mad that not to be mad is another form of madness. So yeah, it's a necessary insanity that I don't see what this material world is like. I have to keep on like this. And I have my little project. But basically what everybody's trying to do is they're trying to stay alive. They want to survive. They want to protect themselves. And what do people worry about so much in the world? Security. Where's the security? How's it going to last? Now there's Bill Gates sitting behind this mansion surrounded by all kinds of high-tech security devices. Don't you think somehow death will get through with some little pin? He'll bypass all those sensors and cameras and everything and ping, bye-bye Bill, huh? There's no security. It doesn't happen. So this is why we keep telling ourselves is somehow or other I'll be different. This is narcissism also. It won't happen to me. I once had a girl say to this, you know. She says, I'm convinced I'm not going to die. She was in college too. She said, yeah, I'm certain I'm not going to die. I said, well, you notice everybody else is. She says, yeah, but I'm different. I don't think it's going to happen to me. Maybe when it becomes a problem, they'll have solved it. When it becomes a problem for me, they'll have solved the death problem. People are like that. They can't. It's called narcissism. They can't think like this. So this is what happens to the soul. This pure Krishna consciousness and now becomes manifest in different ways. So this instinct of self-preservation, very, very closely related to this instinct, is also the sexual drive. That's another way of preserving yourself. Well, I'm going to die, but I make little babies, my little replica of myself running around, and I perpetuate the race, my family, my name. These are all different immortality projects. We have going on fame, immortal fame. You become the sports hall of fame, the immortals they call them, and various efforts. All these things. None of them work, and none of them satisfy us. So ultimately, we can see that the only solution is Krishna consciousness, and that comes back when we rectify this mistake. We attain our. This is really all Krishna consciousness means is, what does it mean? Being conscious of Krishna. And actually, it's natural. You can see, self-preservation is not, that's love of God. The desire to enjoy in the world, this lust, what is that? It's love of God. When love of God has come into contact with the mode of passion, it becomes transformed into lust. Actually, we can see how much we want to stay alive, how much we want to enjoy the senses. These are all manifestations of how much we love Krishna. In other words, very, very powerful. But that love has been deflected. We are trying to achieve eternal life, bliss and knowledge in this material world where it does not exist. This is a big mistake. And the whole world is moving under this illusion. And of course, if we become disillusioned, we become enlightened, then it looks so stupid. Why can people keep going on like this over and over and over again? Never getting what they want and keep trying. Do not learn from their mistakes. We should first of all, stop being stupid ourselves. Look at things the way they are and then try it. The only way we can do it because somebody has helped us. By ourselves, we could never find our way out. Somebody has helped us, and so we also should help other people. Anyway, there's a great deal more to say, but I've talked for a long time, so I'll stop now. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes?
I just wonder about this pure consciousness we described here. This is in the sphere of the material creation of pure consciousness, which is described.
Yeah.
How is it pure? Is it after the living entity has left the spiritual world?
I think what it refers to is there's this although the living entity is now here, there's also Krishna consciousness within the material world. I mean, it's available within the material world. So it's there, and it doesn't go away, but it seems like it becomes covered. It becomes covered, but it doesn't vanish. That's my understanding from this. So even within the Mahatattva, there's Vasudeva stage. Yeah, anything else? Yeah?
How it works? To become Brahman realized with the Gyan Yoga process.
You want to know how? I don't teach that.
But I like to understand because it's all material, it's mind and Brahman is spiritual. And the Brahman is spiritual.
Is what?
Spiritual.
Spiritual, yeah. Well, it's a partial realization, is what it is. It's a partial realization of one aspect of transcendence. But it's not very clear. My impression of Brahman realization is that there's to me like people of Brahman realize they've come up to the border of transcendence, and even they've got a glimpse of that border, but the glimpse is still with the material mind and senses. And when you try to look into transcendence with the material mind and senses, a kind of sign drops down that says, you can't go here. So when they look into, what they realize is that here all my ideas stop. Here my words, my memories, my conception, my perception, it's incompetent to go any further. We accept that. Atasi Krishna namadi nabhavaya indriya. That our senses that are contaminated in the material world, they cannot grasp Krishna's name, form, qualities, and so on. So say I have material senses, and I try to see Krishna. I cannot. They're incompetent. So in the Maya bodies, they go up and they at least come into contact with Krishna's effulgence, and they are just aware of undifferentiated. Something is big out there. Something is bright. Something is attractive. It's like light. It's not really material light, as they say. I have seen the light beyond the light. Huh? But it's something like light, but not really light, because light's a material world. And all their speeches becomes ineffective. And all they say is, it's just silence. Right? That's the mind body experience. We say, Sevan mokehi jivado swayam eva sparachadaha. But when the senses become purified by being engaged in acts of devotional service, then they become enabled or re-enabled. And then you can actually see Krishna. Hear, taste, touch, smell, all the senses. You have the capacity for spiritual perception. But if we only have material perception, material mind, then we come to the end of our abilities. Okay? Yes? Time to stop.
Often when we're describing Visarga, the question comes up why mind is comes from false ego and the mode of goodness, and why intelligence comes from false ego.
And describing that Sarga. Because the intelligence is higher, and yet it comes from what looks like a lower mode. Intelligent. This is my understanding so far. Now, I've never seen anywhere an answer to that question from Prabhupada. But in intelligence here in the Sarga. Is associated with the knowledge-acquiring senses. And this will be described later on by Kapila, that without the intelligence you could not recognize anything. Just the phenomena of recognition is governed by intelligence. How does that happen? Well, that there's memory, which is stored in the mind, and intelligence also governs memory. And so when we perceive the world, our perceptions are already preformed by intelligence, which allows us to recognize things, identify them. You may notice if somebody comes towards you, and you see this face, and suddenly you recognize them. So there's some change. First, it's the same face, and it's somehow or other, there's recognition. But all perception is recognition. Otherwise, we just see a bunch of shapes and colors and everything like that, but we've got them all organized into naming things. And this is all intelligence. Intelligence governs that. So intelligence really guides the senses. And then by guiding the senses, the impressions are made in the mind. So when Krishna wants to guide a living entity, he does it via the intelligence. Of the subtle energies, he makes use of intelligence. So that the whole mindset, the whole direction of our interest, or how our mind is programmed, is really done by intelligence. If you look how you learn, when you learn a language, you learn from a parent, you see something in the world and somebody tells you this is the name, this is this and this is that. And so you learn how to recognize things. And also you pick up a great deal of subtle information. This is our group, that's another group. And you gradually, you pick up a whole worldview of Weltanschauung. You just take it in with your mother's milk. It's a very complicated philosophy you learn, but you don't even know what you're learning. You just somehow take it in. And this is, your intelligence is being formed in this way by authority. So this is how so how we see the world. But ultimately behind all that there's Krishna. I says I give them remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So intelligence has this very important function, even though it's in the mode of passion, that it works to direct and control the senses, and Krishna controls the living entity via this intelligence. So that seems to be why it's higher, even though its formation is out of the mode of passion. Okay, but the yoga system ultimately has to restore the mind to the state of goodness. That the idea that the mind can be in the mode of goodness is completely beyond us right now. Because it's been so, we live in a civilization that's the overdevelopment of the mode of passion to begin with. The mind still does this thing, it accepts and rejects. Sankalpa and vikalpa. But instead of accepting and rejecting in terms of sense gratification, when it's been rectified by proper intelligence, it accepts and rejects in terms of Krishna consciousness. And it's actually, you can see what it's like, the mind in the mode of goodness. I think probably we're going a little late, huh? Let me stop. One last thing I want to do. In the evening, you'll see outside, there'll be a little table with some devotees from Germany and Austria. Please stop by and visit them. Germany, Austria is in a state of emergency. There's one right there. There's Navanita Chora. That's not an anti-tank weapon. That's a club of Lord Nisringadev. We have a few things. That's gifts for donors. We have an appeal. The ISKCON German Emergency and Solidarity Action for a couple of years. They'll explain to you the details. Suffice it to say that left over from the old days, the previous GVC, we have obligations, debts to close to a million euros, plus a lot of subtle damage to people, people's minds and hearts, which we're trying to overcome. One thing is our three temples, and the deities there, Radhan Madan Mohan, Lord Nisringadev, and Gornitai in Cologne, all these temples are at risk right now. So the GVC has endorsed this emergency action. We're working also with the European RGB. And we just want to inform everybody like this. There's all kinds of different ways people can help and participate, because we're going to need some help from outside of Germany. I think we're making some good progress, but we do need your interest and help, whatever you can do, even if it's a little bit, even if you have just a little contribution, just a drop. You know, when you have a flood, there's just a lot of raindrops, so somehow or other you get enough, it makes a flood. So don't be discouraged because the problem's so big. So do whatever you can. So please, they have some pamphlets and stuff, and Navanita Chora and Prajumna, and I think who else is here? Sharad Vaughan, there's some German devotees will be there in the evening in the front lobby. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.